First Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. I like it. Don't you like that in verse 1? To this world we're strangers, but to Christ we're the elect. You see that? Strangers scattered. I mean, they got no resting place. Strangers scattered. When the world knew, I tell you, had the address. He said, I can't put an address on this. They're just scattered. He said, but God knows where every one of you are. Elect. Isn't that a precious title for the bride? Ain't nobody here because you was wanting him. If you're here, it's because he wanted you. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, there's the Trinity in verse 2. You just have to appreciate God, don't you? We got a bunch of lost preachers preaching to a bunch of lost church members. And I'm not just talking about Baptists, I'm talking about worldwide. I was reading after a man of God the other day and he said religion is the strongest narcotics the devil has on the market. It'll make you feel good about yourself on the way to hell. I was coming down the road this morning and all them billboards are trying to combat meth, crystal meth. That meth kills, meth destroys, meth. I'm gonna get me some billboards and say religion. Religion destroys, religion kills, religion blinds, religion ruins, religion takes you to hell. You got to acknowledge God if you're gonna come to God, and there's all three of them. The foreknowledge of God the Father. Well, I'm glad He's in charge. He's well aware of what's going on because He's the one that laid it out. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, He's the one that gets a hold of you and sets you aside. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, His work on Calvary. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I'd like to hang out with all this, but I'm heading for heaven. I've seen it at the end of verse 4. You just can't bump into something big as the Trinity and not mention it. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we're doing around here this morning. We're blessing our Father. Didn't He say over there in chapter 2 something about them spiritual sacrifices? Yeah, chapter 2 and verse 5. You're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's why you ought to think, and I'm not trying to flatter nobody or butter nobody up, I'm just telling you a fact. You ought to thank God for a pastor that allows you to come around and offer up spiritual sacrifices. You'd be amazed how smothered most churches are. The fire's off the altar and anything you pour on there fizzles when it hits. But I like when you can dump out them prayers and praises, them groans and griefs. Even those when poured out to Christ, when they hit an altar with fire, they sizzle in the perfume in the nostrils of a thrice holy God. I like going to church where the fire's on the altar. You can roll burdens off there and even those are sweet to Him. You can roll blessings off on there and even those are sweet to Him. Where y'all at? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope. You just have to excuse all this praise in God. It's connected to stuff like begotten and lively. I've burst into life. I passed from death unto life. And I can't help myself. Happy bubbles the size of Texas running through my soul. Lively hope. By the resurrection. See, it's in begotten words, lively words, hope words, resurrection words. Honey, that's why I can't act like an old dead Baptist. All that That stuff right there. Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. I don't know why y'all are trying to stack up stuff around here. It ain't none of it going to last. Heaven and earth shall pass away. All you young people, perk an ear up here, and let me say to your heart, because of a godly heritage poured into me, I got to start out young. And I lived my young years on Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. If you get a hold of Him first, that stuff won't get a hold of you when He pours it on you. It ain't wrong for you to have things, but it's wrong for things to have you. He said, we're heading to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You can be seated. Lord, I know You'll help me, and I need You to help me. Father, this message, just it needs to come directly from the throne room of grace. I have no wisdom. I have no ability. Lord, I feel like a big zero with the rim rubbed out. You've convinced me of that. Until flattery don't stir me and attacks don't depress me, I'm running on the sheer grace of God, and I know it. And I'm thankful, and I need Your help. Lord, what a subject. I can't touch it, but Holy Ghost, You can make it real. Heaven, help us today in Jesus' name, and all the Lord's people saying. A simple thought, a large thought, one will not scrape no more than the tip of the iceberg. I want to, out of this text, say a few things about heaven this morning. It come to me elbow deep in grease yesterday. This sermon written on the back of a gasoline receipt out yonder in my truck. But I guess when the Holy Ghost writes it in your heart, the rest of that stuff don't matter. Heaven. Heaven. Look in verse 5. I need you to underline one phrase before I give you my thought. Verse 5, he said, who are kept by the power of God? Well, ain't that good? Through faith unto salvation. And here's what I want you to underline. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Heaven's going to reveal some things. Heaven is going to reveal some things. I want to stop and say, I am glad I'm going to heaven. I don't think y'all get saved because you're scared of hell. You want to go to heaven. That's logical. And reason ain't never saved anybody. Faith saves folk. Your salvation ought not be centered around heaven or hell. It ought to be centered around facts concerning sin and salvation. But the good thing about being washed in the blood is you're fireproof from hell and you're bound for heaven. Heaven. I want to say just a few little thoughts about heaven. That's all that's on my heart this morning. Heaven, ready to be revealed. I want to say, number one, that heaven, and you'll forgive me for being so simple this morning, but heaven is going to reveal His wealth. Just look for a minute in verse 4, to an inheritance. Now, I ain't figured this out, but grace and mercy have arranged this. I ain't even halfway swallowed it and consumed it, but the thought that we put a crown of thorns on His head and He's going to put crowns of glory on ours. an inheritance. If you're wondering how good it is to be in the family of God, Romans 8 said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. To an inheritance. An inheritance. But I think what I like about that, where it said it's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, his wealth. Hosea said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, you're not going to find much shouting unless you get around poor folk or country folk. Everybody else is too satisfied. And I remind some of you, you ain't always drove what you're driving. You ain't always been able to wear what you're wearing. Y'all don't mind me just being blunt with you, do you? Reading, some of you can shout because your grandma and your mama didn't have nothing and they raised you up teaching you to thank God for every little thing. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now, it don't matter if your folks can leave you anything, any silver and gold, honey, as long as they've got a godly heritage and they've left you something in the name of Jesus. His wealth. ITT, Technical Institute, did a little scientific research on all the gold that has been mined in the history of civilization. Going back to what they call caveman days, but we know those didn't exist. You know, they can only trace origins of language and origins of civilization back about, 6,000 years. I could have saved them several years of scratching their stuffed head and just let them read the Bible and figure some things out. Luke 2 gives you genealogy all the way back to Adam, the son of God. But anyhow, they went back to all that and said all the gold in the world, if it could be melted down today, it wouldn't take up no more than 1/3 of the Washington National Monument. All the gold in the world. Well, you've heard it said before, but I feel like saying it again. When we get to heaven, the streets are going to be made of gold. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting high and holy, lifted up upon a throne. Said, and his train filled the temple. His train. When Princess Diana got married, that train that flowed off of that rope, if it was at Westminster Abbey, I don't know about that. So every woman in the world was watching that thing. Said her train reached down through that great long cathedral right on the outside. They said a train. Said the dimensions of the train, them old Oriental kings of old, them ancient kings, said the dimensions of his train described the size and the wealth of his kingdom. Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, said, that's a pretty big temple. In my Father's house are many mansions. Y'all worked up about them houses. I'm interested in that mansion. That house that contains all them mansions. Said, and his train filled the temple. We're going to see his wealth. That don't excite most Americans. We're living in too much wealth. But when we get over there, you're going to see how strong his kingdom is. The earth is his footstool. Heaven is his throne. We're going to see his wealth. Heaven will reveal not just his wealth, but heaven will reveal his world. Look what he said in the end of verse 4. Reserved in heaven for you, his world. You know, his world is a lot better than this world. This world is his world, but the devil is running rampant for the time being by the permissive providence of God. The devil's allowed to rule and reign for a while. The god of this world, little g, the prince of the power of the air, Paul said in Galatians 1, he has delivered us from this present evil world. I'm a little concerned about some Baptists. They're more excited about this world than his world. His world's pretty good. His world. Of course, going to heaven, you kind of have to be excited about heavenly things. I'll just go ahead and say this morning that folks that don't like to go to church don't even need to think about going to heaven. Because heaven ain't going to be nothing but one great old big good church service. With glorified bodies, we'll all be able to sing, shout, and run, do somersaults. You know what we got into just a little while ago? Entering into His presence with singing. I ain't scared of nobody calling me a Pentecostal. I believe in old time and singing. I dance about once a year. I about broke into a little jig a while ago. Couldn't help it, and didn't care if you thought about it. And in case you thought any of that was for any of y'all, I promise you, I don't give a rip snort about Baptists, honey. I don't care if they're impressed or depressed. They ain't got nothing to do with me and my journey. You wasn't nowhere near that horrible pit, honey, when he crawled down in there and hauled me out. What I got going on between me and him? Honey, I don't need one or two of you, 100 or 200. I don't even need that. Honey, listen, I've had most of my spells by myself, but I ain't scared to have one in public either. Enter into His presence with singing. Y'all snuck around and done that a while ago. Sang to Him until you did it. You slipped right in that throne room. Didn't even know it. Haven't you noticed what the atmosphere is? It was the joy of the Lord. I believe this. I believe the very atmosphere them glorified bodies are going to need to operate on ain't oxygen. It's joy. What he said yonder, he said, when he's a welcome them into heaven, he said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, y'all can do whatever you want to. I'm excited about it myself. We're being glorified bodies living in the spirit world. Won't be no flesh that's sinful or corrupt. I just got a feeling we're going to breathe in out of our spirit, not out of our nostrils. And the very atmosphere, the essence of Christ, the joy of Jesus, is what we're going to live on. That's why I'm a little bit nervous about y'all. Jesus don't give you joy. You may not be able to breathe in heaven. See, His world. I know I'm not here to exhaust or exposit the subject of heaven. I'm just here to shout over what I got happy about yesterday. 1 Corinthians 2 said, I hath not seen, nor hath the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them. Queen of Sheba came to Solomon. She said, why, the half was not told me about thy kingdom. I know a few things about heaven. I know it's marked by holiness. There will be nothing that lies or makes a lie. There will be no abomination. Ain't nothing that defiles. I'm going to be excited. I'll be honest with you. I'll be excited about one thing. I ain't going to have to deal with the law of sin in my flesh no longer. That old man of pride, that old man of corruption, that old man in its self-will and self-assertiveness, that old man in its stubbornness and its rebellion, and ain't no need you sitting there looking past. Saved, honey, blood washed and born again, the old man is still hanging around in them old bodies. a good thing about heaven, honey. These bodies will be changed. Who shall change our vile body like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself? That's Philippians 3:21. And 1 John 2:3 said, and we shall know Him, and we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. We know not yet what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. I think it's Psalm 16, the last verse, somewhere in there, verse 11. Go read your Bible for yourself. It's over in Psalms. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. There'll be no sin. It's a land marked by holiness. I'm afraid some of y'all ain't going to enjoy it. There ain't going to be no country music over there. There won't be no reprobates on the morning show interviewing a bunch of hellish Hollywood actors. Some of y'all are going to be real uncomfortable. All your heroes going to be in hell. You're not even going to know who to shake hands with in heaven. You didn't wonder how I could get mean in a message on heaven, wasn't you? Huh? Some of you ain't going to like it. Ain't going to worship money in heaven. You're just going to worship Jesus. I know it's Mother's Day. I used to get so aggravated at my Baptist. Some of them didn't have a grandma or grandchildren. They'd never had a testimony. Come on now. This is just getting, this may be a little more honest than half of you can handle. But honey, some Baptists, if it wasn't for a mama or a grandma, they wouldn't ever be able to testify. For their daddy's old preacher or their daddy's grandpa. If you'd have been alive back then, you'd have seen they were mistreating him just like you were mistreating your preacher. Baptists have a way of loving preachers that are done dead and gone, but they can't live with none of them God put in their life. Woo! Kind of like Roman Catholics. They don't sainthood none of them until they've been dead 100 years. Y'all thought Roman Catholics were the only one done that. Baptists don't want to put themselves under the ministry authority of any man of God unless it was their grandma's or their old daddy's, and he's already dead and gone to heaven. I don't know why I'm meddling, but I'm having fun. I think the reason was because what I meant to tell you, in heaven ain't but one object of worship, and that's the resurrected Son of God. Ain't nobody going to be thanking grandma. Ain't nobody going to be thanking her great-grandpa, honey. They'll all be a bunch of sinners that have been called and called out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It's marked by holiness. And some of y'all are going to have a lot of getting used to in heaven. Because everything you love is going to be in this world. Heaven's marked by hallelujahs. Yes, sir. You go there in Revelation and read it for yourself. Saying with a loud voice. I'm about sick of this little old contemporary movement that the charismatics flushed out on us. You ever notice that outfit? And they got a flaky spirit. I mean, worse than cornflakes. They're just flaky. And the only reason I harp on this is because old-time religion is trying to be taken over by the contemporary movement. I'll tell you how to earmark that crap. They ain't got the goods. They can't bring it out of their belly. They can't go that deep. Ain't nothing down there. They got to get it out of their vocal cords. Let me explain what I'm talking about. John 7, Jesus did a little street preaching. He stood up and that religious crowd gathering around pouring out them drink offerings in the feast time. He just stood up on the park bench and said, everyone that's thirsty, come unto me. I'll give you water to drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he, signifying of the Spirit which would be in them. You ever get somebody full of the Holy Ghost, whether it's a woman shouting in a church or it's a man shouting in church, a real Holy Ghost shout come out of their belly. It'll be like they're half mad and wanting to kill something. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Saying Bible words. Stuff you find in Revelation. Hallelujah! Glory! Salvation! Blessing! Honor! Amen! Amen! Stuff that's in the book of Revelation. That stuff's scriptural. You get this little contemporary, they ain't got nothing in their belly. So it all comes out of here like they've been on sucking on a helium balloon. You don't have to. I know you ain't supposed to meddle on Sunday morning, but it's my one shot, honey. It's a hallelujah. You ever look on that crowd? Just check out that charismatic crowd. The women all got their hair hacked off and they're preaching. And fellas got their hair done and the wrist bent over and they're swaying.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm on the local praise and worship team. Hallelujah.
Soon as we fellas get done, the women are going to preach in just a minute. Well, you know I'm telling them, right? They used to come around where I pastored because they heard we'd shout and run the aisles and jump out of windows and stuff like that. They come out, we don't believe y'all are bad. This, we just got to see this, and they'd want to try to get that little old vocal cord helium stuff going.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'd get about three of my rowdiest preacher boys, the ones freshest out of hell. They didn't even wait for church. They'd shout during the announcement. The announcements in church to them was better than the parties they used to have in hell. I'd say we're going to have work day on Saturday morning. They'd start remembering the day when they used to couldn't even wake up on Saturday morning. They remember when they didn't even have a car to drive to Saturday morning to work. I'd make an announcement and they'd end up shouting. So I'd get about three of my roughest, rowdiest, freshest out of hell. Acting kind of like I was acting all morning. Get like a slobbering drunk out of control. I'd say, boys, I want you to sit right over here this morning. We got a helium flake with us. I want you to shout it out. And the most domineering women trying to try to take over. I'd put them boys on them. Honey, they're bringing it deeper than their belly. Some of them was pulling up out of their kneecaps. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Them flakes would go, be headed out the door and gone somewhere. I'm just here to tell you something about heaven. Some of you ain't going to take a while to get used to, because heaven is marked by holiness and it's marked by hallelujah. There won't be no flaky crowd. No, sir, honey, they'll be shouting from out of their goozle. I was up north here a while back and stinking Yankee. He said, not everyone has to shout now. Here's what he said. I nearly throwed a songbook at him, but I had. He said, some of us, when we get to heaven, we're just going to stare. That's what he does. So I'm glad I got a King James Bible because I read it and wasn't nobody just staring. Anyway, no, because it ain't Disney World, and it ain't the zoo, and it ain't some Hollywood presentation. It's a whole lot bigger than making your eyes big. You'll be slain at the throne, honey, joining in with all them other sinners who said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I got here by grace. If anybody's wondering how I got here by grace. Zechariah chapter 4 said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And said on crowning day when you finish, and it's crowning day, said you'll gather around and shout, grace! to go read Zechariah this afternoon. I said half of you didn't catch none of that. You go read Zechariah 4 and find out what we're going to do when we're finished with the temple and crowning day has come. He said, we'll all gather around and shout, grace, grace unto it. Yeah. Only place in your Bible where grace is hitched up on itself, coming or going. Just grace, grace. It's going to be a hallelujah time. Heaven's marked not only by holiness and by but it's marked by happiness. Now, I wouldn't use that word. It sounds shallow, except it's a Bible word, and it's not shallow. Now, we use it shallow. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm going to go have some fun. No, honey. Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. She said, I've noticed something about all your servants. I'm going to quote for you now out of the King James Bible because you can't quote none of the rest of them. Do you notice that? Happy are these thy servants. Happy are these thy servants. I'm going to tell you something about heaven. There ain't going to be no single mom weeping herself to sleep. There ain't going to be no beat up, some dope addict, alcoholic husband. There ain't going to be no beat up wife with little children. Dragging around. Honey, heaven's a place where he's going to wipe away all tears. There'll be no more pain. The former things will be remembered no more. We'll know as we're known. We'll have perfect knowledge. I believe he's going to take away all the pain and the memories half the pain. He's going to heal that. It's marked by happiness. There's no abortion clinics. There's no poor old drug addicts and drunks that wish to goodness and wish to heaven and wishing to God they could get off that bottle or that needle. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, you'd better learn not to look down on that element of society. If it were not for the restraining graces of God, honey, you and I would have been in the lowest gutter tonight. I've been studying an old Puritan on the sinfulness of sin. Brother Ken, he said this. He said, any sin that any sinner could do, every man would do if it were not for restraining grace. You got no self-righteousness to rejoice in this morning. That holiness we're talking about in that yonder country, brother, is a holiness provided by Him. It's His. You can't bring none of your righteousness in that land. It won't be accepted. He brought His in. It was so acceptable, it made you acceptable. You can come in accepted on His payment, His provision. It's marked by happiness. It's marked by Him. The Lamb is the light. The Lamb is the light. I want to say this quickly now. Number three. Read verse 6. Heaven will reveal His wealth. Heaven will reveal His world. And I want to say this. Heaven will reveal His wisdom. Look in verse 6. Reminding you that in verse 5 we're kept by the power of God. But in verse 6 it's strange. Even those saints who are kept by the power of God are allowed to go through deep and heavy valleys. Read verse 6. When you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7 talks about the trial of your faith. Underline those three words. If need be, and I'll say this morning, heaven will reveal His wisdom. Things that don't make sense here are going to make sense there. What you got to trust is that if need be. Why am I in such a hot trial and a heavy tribulation? I don't know, but it must be necessary. For He wouldn't have allowed it. He wouldn't have arranged it. I think I'll say this, and I think I'm done this morning. Heaven would reveal His wisdom. You know, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. And it's still Bible. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's just talking about the children of God. All things work together. Last year, Brother Bowman, a 38-year-old lady that I pastored, that's pretty young, 38. She kind of had a runny nose, had a little cold. Took some cough medicine, some cold medicine. Got to where she couldn't breathe good. It's just last September. She couldn't breathe good. And she couldn't hardly breathe at all. She got to panicking. She called her husband at work. This was a precious servant of the church. She was a good cook. She did a lot of our cooking at the church for our camp meeting. She had a 13-year-old boy and a 9-year-old boy. She is homeschooling them boys. A good godly woman. She called her husband and said, I can't breathe. And by the time he got there and by the time the ambulance got there, she's laying on that floor, her body dead. And them two little boys laying over their mama. When he walked in, she had a rare situation. She'd had fluid building up around her heart and didn't know it. She had a bad reaction to that medicine, and that thing squeezed in on her heart, and she just died of congestive heart failure. Never suspected a thing was ever wrong with her health. At the funeral, an older gray-haired preacher friend of mine stood up. That 9-year-old Bubba, they called him. He was Mama's boy. That 13-year-old boy. There was such a crush, a brokenness and a crust. That whole place was crushed. Them little boys were crushed. I mean, out of nowhere. God took her home. That old preacher stood up and they preached out of Romans 8:28. He said, my grandma back in the country had a quilting room. Said in that quilting room, she's putting together a great old big quilt and said the whole room was covered by that quilt. It's anchored to four corners. He said, I was a little boy with my cousins. Said, we'd come in there and play underneath grandma's quilt. He said, we'd look up, and he said, I'd think that's the awfulest looking thing I've ever seen. Loose ends hanging everywhere, knots, frayed yarn, patches that looked like they didn't go together, pieces that were worked together, just a mess. He'd look up and say, just an ugly, awful mess. He said, but I grew up and got older and went back to grandma's. He said, and I went in grandma's quilting room, and he said, I wasn't no longer on the bottom side looking up. He said, I was on the top side of that thing looking down. He said, you never knowed how ugly the underside was after you seen what grandma was putting together on the top. And anybody that's ever buried a husband or a wife prematurely, or carried a little baby, carried one of them little short caskets down to the graveyard, or somebody is mourning to, and you forgive me, just a life full of hell, heartache, abuse, rape and torture. Things sure look ugly on the bottom side. Things just don't match. Loose ends everywhere. Knots that just unseemly. Said, but one of these days, He's going to call us to the other side. And we'll get to look down at that beautiful piece of work that He made out of our life. Heaven's going to reveal His wisdom. He doeth all things well. And He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Heaven's going to reveal His wounds. A lamb, all they saw in Revelation was that lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Zechariah 13:6, those wounds in thine hand they'll see. Your wounds are going to make sense when you see His wounds. Heaven's going to reveal His wisdom. Brother Ken has just stirred up about heaven. We're heading there. There's some things you don't even have to understand now. They're ready to be revealed. You'll be all right. Just get you a big chomp of faith and live on it until sight comes into view.